From WYLL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Thursday, June 22nd. Coming up, we'll learn more about how a major surge in climate resilience funding is allowing urban forestry departments to bet big on trees. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Advocates are taking to the streets, urging Illinois officials not to freeze enrollment in a healthcare coverage program for undocumented immigrants. The group Healthy Illinois staged a die-in yesterday. About a dozen activists laid on the ground in downtown Chicago's Federal Plaza. Glo Choi, an activist with Healthy Illinois, says the rule changing limiting enrollment will harm a lot of people.
All of us are here because our communities, our people who have fought so hard over the years for this essential care. We need this program to stay.
The state late last week announced enrollment in the program covering those 42 to 64 will be frozen July 1st. The program covering undocumented seniors 65 or older will freeze after 16,500 new enrollments. The changes were made after program costs far exceeded expectations. Sprinklers and hoses are in overdrive across parts of the Midwest as the drought rages on and people try to keep their lawns looking green. But as Harvest Public Media's X. Gret Nunez reports, some cities are putting conservation measures in place to keep their water supplies from drying up.
Dry weather, high temperatures, and a lack of rainfall across parts of Nebraska have caused a spike in water demand from city residents. Steve Owen is the superintendent of water production for the city of Lincoln, Nebraska. He says the city has recently asked residents to cut back on watering their lawns.
When there's less water in the river, there's less water in the aquifer for us to draw from. It's really that that got us to the point of getting to our voluntary water conservation efforts.
If weather conditions don't improve, Owen says the city will have to put mandatory water restrictions in place. Storm Lake, Iowa, and Wentzville, Missouri have also declared voluntary water measures. For Harvest Public Media, I'm X. Gret Nunez.
Harvest is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. The National Guard in Illinois say they're working hard to bring in new recruits over the summer. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
National Guard recruiters said at a media roundtable that retention numbers are good for people already serving, but attracting new people has been a challenge. Technical Sergeant Stephen Graves is a recruiter in Peoria, where the Air National Guard's 182nd Airlift Wing is stationed. He says members of the 182nd are helping out.
So we have over 1,300 unit members here in the Illinois Air National Guard in Peoria. So we have really incorporated all of our unit members to be recruiters. So they are in places where we can't be.
Congress has allocated more money to step up recruitment, and the National Guard has relaxed entry standards in areas ranging from body mass index to tattoos. I'm Jim Meadows.
Yesterday, the University of Illinois held its first public event in the Campus Community Compact to accelerate social justice. Illinois Newsroom's May Antar has more.
U of I Chancellor Robert Jones announced the Campus Community Compact to accelerate social justice in 2020, in light of the public response to the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police. Yesterday's activities in Champaign included community discussions geared toward the compact's goal of addressing systemic racism and injustices. But some feel it's not enough, including Angela Worthy. She's a community engagement specialist with the Trauma and Resilience Initiative, a nonprofit group based in Champaign.
We can come up with plans and strategies all day long, but until they have a voice and a choice and a say, and they buy into what we're selling, we're not going to get there, and we're not going to get there until we meet them where they're at.
Worthy's main concern is with the housing shortage in Champaign-Urbana. She hopes community discussions will address the need to focus less on student housing and more on creating affordable housing for families. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn more about how a surge in climate resiliency funding is helping urban forestry departments thrive. That story is next on 217 Today.
The new PBS drama, Marriage, offers a heartwarming and candid look at the human need for companionship in a challenging world. Lead characters Ian and Emma navigate the difficulties and joys of a long-term, intimate relationship. Marriage explores all the ambiguity, insecurity, laughter, and touching moments that come on the journey to romantic bliss. Stream this and other dramas as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
A lot of times we barely notice them, but trees have a big impact, especially in cities where they can lower ambient temperatures. U.S. cities and states will be getting $1.5 billion for urban canopies over the next 9 years. The money is part of the climate resilience funding through the Inflation Reduction Act. As Harvest Public Media's Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco reports, the funding will help communities provide more green space and adapt to extreme weather events.
Driving along the Rock River, Mitch Leatherby, a street superintendent for the city of Rockford, Illinois, spots a pair of ash trees, most of which have disappeared from much of the Midwest due to the invasive emerald ash borer.
Actually, there's two ash trees right there, still standing. And I remember we were treating those over the years. Some of them we kind of let go, and some of them we kept. And those were just a couple of them that we kept.
In the early 2000s, Rockford lost approximately 5,000 ash trees to the invasive beetle. The beetle was first identified in Michigan and has killed tens of millions of ash trees across the country. According to Leatherby, the pest has left a lasting impression on urban forest managers.
What you want to do is focus on diversification of species in an urban forest so that when a pest or something comes along and it focuses on one species, it's not wiping out 20% of your inventory.
Pests, disease, and severe storms are rapidly changing the makeup of urban forests all over the U.S. But adapting is expensive and can be a real barrier for local governments that don't typically budget with robust urban forests and canopies in mind. That's changing. According to David Sivier, a regional manager for the U.S. Forest Service, the federal government is betting big on trees through funding in the Inflation Reduction Act. $1.5 billion of funding over the next 9 years will be dedicated to urban and community forest programs.
It's an unprecedented increase, one that is very needful and will help to meet many of the chronic challenges that our cities face with respect to extreme heat, flooding, vulnerabilities to storms, and so forth that we see increasing in the landscape today.
That's exactly what Alan Jankowski, the Commissioner of Forestry for the City of St. Louis, is counting on. He says that earlier this month, there was a nearly 10-degree difference between the parts of the city with ample tree cover and those without it. His department recently submitted a $50 million proposal to the Forest Service for work like pruning and replacing trees. The city would have had to match the Forest Service's contribution, dollar for dollar, before the IRA legislation waived that requirement for projects in disadvantaged communities.
I would say without that, it would have been very difficult. I don't know if we could say not 100%, but it would have been very difficult for us to get the $50 million for sure.
The Forest Service is distributing hundreds of millions of dollars in grants to local governments, federally recognized tribes, and community-based organizations. And its funding for states has surged to $250 million this year. Christina Hoyt with the Nebraska Forest Service says it'll have a real impact, especially in rural towns.
Typically, urban forestry is an underfunded area of communities. Communities have a lot of challenges and, you know, limited budgets to address them all.
Hoyt says the funding will help the state deal with the emerald ash borer, which was identified in Nebraska in 2016, as well as beef up forestry departments around the state. Trees are having a moment, and Michael Brunk, the Urban and Community Forestry Administrator for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, says it's about time.
Quite frankly, most of the time, trees kind of got kicked down the rung and was looked at as a nicety, not a necessity, not as a necessity like police and fire, and not a necessity like patching potholes and taking care of snow removal in the winter. But, you know, quite frankly, it should be.
A single mature tree can trap some 4,000 gallons of rainwater a year, and the temperature beneath the tree can be up to 25 degrees cooler than its surrounding area. Now, forest managers are imagining what they could do with a more substantial urban forest. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a high of 86 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, X. Gret Nunez, Jim Meadows, May Antar, and Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.